most admirable chasers you could possibly wish to see.
Hello and welcome to the Race Hour podcast in association with BetUK. This is our entry podcast. We're going to have a big look at the Grand National. We're going to do that first, and then we're going to go through the other big races on the 3 days of the Liverpool Festival. Joined today, as always, by Dermot Nolan. We have a new entry into the Race Hour atmosphere. It's Lee Hayes and the brilliant broadcaster, stats tipper extraordinaire, Tanya Stevenson. Tanya's in her element. It's the Masters. Eurovision's on the horizon. We're all happy. Dermot, we'll come to you first. How are you keeping since Cheltenham?
All good. All good. Kind of, you know, slept a good bit, Cass. You know, you're an exhausting man, so I needed a few days for a break. No, of course not. No, a good week for the race there as well, Cass. Everyone knocked it out of the park, including yourself. You had a great week.
I wouldn't have liked to bring it up, Dermot, but thanks for highlighting that to everyone. You can say the prices, I don't mind, you know, if you want on the tar side tip. But anyway, Lee Hayes, a new entrant. How are you, Lee? Tell us a little bit about yourself. Where are you from? How did you get into racing?
I'm Lee from Leeds, so that's nice and easy to remember, over here in Yorkshire. How did I get into racing? My father used to work for a bookies when I was younger, so I've always fancied the racing, always enjoyed it. And latterly, me and my brother run a syndicate over here in Yorkshire. We've got the horse with David O'Mara, and I look after a syndicate for four guys from Yorkshire, four good guys, and we've got a couple of horses with Willie Mullins, so quite heavily involved now.
Wow. And the horses with Willie, are they in training, Lee? Do we know them?
Yeah, Space Tourist, you might know. She won listed at Limerick last year. And we've got an unraced bumper horse that we're going to call a Yorkshire Tourist. So she'll be out this summer.
Brilliant. So we'll get the text on the day. And the horse with David O'Mara, has that ran yet?
A few times, yeah, but last time in absolutely terrible ground. Probably the type of ground we're going to get an entry this week. So he doesn't like that ground, but he'll be ready to win hopefully later on in the season.
Well, you might get him to the York Festival. O'Mara always good there. If he's that class, he'll be happy anyway. Tanya Stevenson, Tanya, this is your time of year. You're in your element.
I am certainly in my element. We got the Masters, as you say. Eurovision, I can't wait for, but that isn't until May the 11th. But there's lots going on, and the betting in that is furious. But more immediately, we had a bookmaker's pitch at Aintree. It used to be around pitch 22, the family. Been going for too many years to mention and remember. So that's scary enough as it is. This year, I'll be hidden in the behind the scenes again at actually Aintree. So, yes, this is my time of the year, and I just can't wait for it. But as we've already mentioned, all of us, I haven't seen Aintree wet as this leading up to the meeting. Of course, when Red Marauder won, it came into it slowly built up to the meeting. So it's going to be intriguing how connections and horses and jockeys tackle the mile makers, let alone the big spruce fences over the 3 days.
Yeah, you get the feeling there could be a lot of boilovers this week, which, to be honest, is music to my ears when it comes to punting. So I'm loving all this rain. Like you say, it's the Red Marauder National that comes to mind, is it? I think maybe there was four finishers that year, Tanya. Was that it?
Yeah. Yeah, there's four finishes, and so, it's interesting because since 80, the race has been run on heavy on six times, but we all remember the Red Marauder, as you say, four finishes in that race, but there has been many more finishes when it's been heavy. The biggest amount of finishes was 14 in 1989 when it was heavy, so...
Yeah, and we've had 14 and 15 with the softening of the fences the last few years, so, yeah, you might set the mark at something like 10 or 11 finishers, I think. Hopefully they'll all pull up safely, the ones that don't complete. That's the main thing. We launch straight into the National, and God, it is a belter of a race, high on quality. Tanya, I'm going to come to you first. Cora Grambler, you are definitely the leader amongst us and many in the broadcasting world in terms of stats and favourites record and the like. How does Cora Grambler shape up in that respect?
Well, he comes into the meeting having finished, as we all know, so well in the Gold Cup, having finished third. But he attempts to be the ninth horse to win the race twice. But you have to go back to, obviously, Tiger Roll won it twice. But since Red Rum won the race in 73-74. There's been 29 horses attempt to go again, and only Tiger Roll has done it. So it just shows you how tricky Correct Rambler's task is. But, of course, the whole makeup of the course is different. He's kind of suited to the race, but is the ground going to be a little bit tricky for him? It's all about with Correct Rambler placement in the race at general points throughout the race, and the ground might be a little bit tricky in that respect. I sense now with the softening of the ground, mind you, we've got dry and forecast for Thursday and Friday. He could balance around the 4-1 mark, might even drift a little. The shortest price favourite who won was ages ago. It was about 11 to 4. Postaline was the shortest price. The shortest price runner was Golden Miller, who was another one ages and ages ago, and that was 2-1. I don't think you'll get down to the realms of that because the ground will intervene. And with that fact, we've already had, I think, before we come on, conflated sort of the fact that if the ground is really soft, he's got 3 or 4 entries for the meeting. He's likely to miss. He was top weight. We've already heard the murmurings of Galvin and Statler might sort of miss the race. That brings Kitty's Lights already in the race now, if indeed conflated or Galvin come out of the race. And it could be bring a few other horses in that weren't considered. They were kept cautiously in the market. There has been big prices. There have been 5 winners that have been priced 100-1. Do we see that kind of meeting? Because we haven't been considering other horses because 16 of the last 22 carried under 11 stone. It's very, very tricky because the ground is so heavy. And we know that there's a couple of drying days before the big one itself. And we'll also get kind of a line in with the Fox Hunters, which I know Famous Claremont hasn't declared for that race. So that's opened up incredibly. And then you've got the Topham, which will also give you another line in. And it gives you also the guide of what trainers, horses, jockeys are in form. So we'll see how all these runners, and the one key horse that's probably been doing this rain dance and can't believe its luck since it won the Welsh National, is Nassalan. He must be coming in. Gary Moore must be coming into this race and thinking wonderful, because everything possibly happened to the Quick at Cheltenham. This would be a little bit different, where it suits horses that can dominate, and he knows he can stay, but he wouldn't want to set it up for Correct Rambler.
Yeah. Very interesting what you say about the price. Tiger Roll is 4-1 as well. I think he'll drift a bit. I just think it's a race high in quality and a big Irish challenge. And he's £13 higher than last year, don't forget. Would he have won last year with £13 more on his back? I would say probably not. He's going to have a good chance. Lee, as the newcomer, we'll come to you. You're a Yorkshire man with horses in Ireland, though. Would you say, have you a big interest in the English horses this year? We'll start with those, the likes of Kitty's Light. I know there's 5 or 6 English. I should have this. Obviously, you have Nassalam in there. What do you think of the home challenge?
I'd say I follow Irish racing more than I follow English racing. We've been over there quite a few times. I think I've been over 10 or 12 times in the last sort of 18 months. So, Nassalam obviously will love the ground, as Tanya's just said. Correct Rambler. I mean, it has won, you've done a novice hurdle on heavy ground. I'm sure it won't be as bad as it's going to be on Saturday. But a cracking prep in the Gold Cup. But my shortlist, they're all Irish, was actually a gas.
Very good, very good. We'll come back to you to get the shortlist. I'm going to have a general chit-chat because I'm just so I love the National so much, I could talk about it forever. So we won't launch straight into tips. And Dermot, we'll get a first word from you on the National. Do you remember your first and last National winner you backed, Dermot? Or have you ever backed the winner of the National, Dermot?
I have, yeah. My very first Grand National winner, and this is going to be the ultimate aftertime, was actually Mon Mon. Karen Kenny, the Irish jockey, was based over with Venetia Williams, and she, her father, God rest his soul, actually used to work in the Furta Bar in Carstavine. His daughter rang him and said, Aidan Coleman's after picking the wrong horse here. Aidan Coleman picked Stan. And Liam Treadwell ended up on Mon Mon. And Karen Kennedy's father, I forget his name now, but he walked into Dublin Central Rise working at the time at 17 years old and said,
she's completely after picking the wrong horse. She is maintaining that he's on the wrong one. And that tip flew around Cara Savine, and a bookmaker's actually ended up closing because they didn't cover it properly. So it was a very... We've no bookmakers now in Cara Savine.
Underage punter, Dermot Nolan, gambled responsibly, managed to close a local bookmaker.
It was, thank God, my €5 each way didn't close the whole pile. But let's just say the tip flew around the town, and yeah, it was one of the a great night. But yeah, no, it's just a brilliant race. But this year particularly, I know the 34 runners cast had kind of disgusted a few people. I don't know, it hasn't tempered my enthusiasm anyway. Like, it's a serious renewal altogether. Do you get challenged? Corrad Sanders, he's going to be very, very hard to stop. Nassalam, I actually liked him in the Gold Cup because of the heavy ground. An awful lot happened to him that day. I'd be worried about him now after that. You know, a Gold Cup can take an awful lot. Particularly, I always think that a horse being taken off their feet like that can actually take an awful lot out of a horse. I am Maximus. I don't like him at all, Stephen. I don't think he's jumping. I don't think he gets into a good enough rhythm. And Vanillier, he's high enough now where the last year, and his form just isn't quite there. This is a brilliant, brilliant renewal. You can keep going like all the way down to, you know, there's like it's just a brilliant race. Really, really good. And hard to rule anything out, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And hold off on your tips there, Darren. Yeah, no. You're about to do it, but we'll talk through the selections and the top of the market a bit more. But we go back around to our first port of call, which was Tanya. And Tanya, you can take whatever way you want, top of the market, bottom of the market, or your main fancies, 1, 2, 3, whatever you're thinking, but make your case for what you like in this year's National.
Well, I put out on the blog that I put Mare out, Gallia de la Toe, because I thought she had run really, really well until she turned out and dug her heels in and had none of it recently. I thought she ran brilliant at Warwick. Dan Skelton's having a tremendous time, and that's another ingredient into the whole race, which we'll speak about through the whole meeting, and that is the Trainers Championship. And Willie, I see Mr. Mullins has got more runners than ever at Aintree, probably that mine. But Gallia de la Toe, going back to that, she had some really good form, and then she ran brilliantly behind My Silver Lining at Warwick. And then I thought, oh, I'll rub my hands together when I saw her in February at Exeter, and she just didn't do her running for whatever reason. 13 mares have won the race, but you have to go back to 51 for the last mare. So that's probably counting against her. But she's done a nice way. She probably do exceptionally well in the fact that she runs to the fore, which I think you really need to do. I don't think Correct Rambler is going to be that far behind in this sort of ground. And
Harry, the ground as well, won't she, Tanya?
Yeah, she was my original pick. Galvin, I did, was another pick as well, but he probably won't run. I just get a feeling that will be my main pick, Gallia de la Toe, because I flagged her up initially. That would be totally wrong. I just get a feeling you've heard lots and lots and don't know too much about Panda Boy. And Panda Boy comes from the Martin Brazel yard, and he's sort of come into the race very shrewdly going over the hurdle. So that's not a bad move to do. And he avoided Cheltenham, and I'm really keen to see. I see it shortening quietly. Every time you look up, Panda Boy shortens. It's just amazing the way that... And fate obviously decrees that Kitty's Light has got into the race, you know, and that would be the most sensational fairy tale story, Kitty's Light, a horse that scooped up every stamina-ridden race last year and has now got the green light to run in this year. So Gallia de la Toe, Panda Boy, because the market, there's this undercurrent of the market sort of pointing you that in that direction, and Kitty's Light. But also look out, obviously, for the Harry Redknapp runner. That might get in the Cheltenham Festival, the Shake 'em Up Harry. That might get in the race. It's on 39 at the moment, so it needs 5 to come out. It's going to be a white-knuckle ride for those over the next couple of days. But no, I'm having to be with the mare. But there's just so many other stats. Like you mentioned, you possibly don't like Vanillier. It doesn't really stand out well if you're a second coming back. It's only happened a couple of times since 1970. Noble Yates is going to have to do a couple of miracles in the fact that winners trying to gain their crown since the 1800s have only done it three times, and then horses that have finished fourth to come back again have only done it twice for a long time. So my three, Galleon de la Taupe, Panda Boy, and Kitty's Light.
Very good, very good. Be very worried about the ground for Kitty's Light, though, I would say.
Yes, yeah.
God, he's never even...
He wouldn't...
He's barely placed on soft ground, so I'd say, I'd be looking at that before I'd really power up my money on him. Galleon de la Taupe, completely agree. She can be up in the van. She was actually further back at Warwick than I thought she would be, and then she couldn't quite get to my silver lining. But she can go from close to the front, get into a rhythm. You never know when they stay over the 4 miles quite, but she looks like she will. I agree. I think she has a great chance. Very good. So Galleon de la Taupe, Kitty's Light, and Panda Boy. Panda Boy, he's sort of flattered the season, deceived and not got home the odd time, I thought. I'm not sure about him over the trip either, but you'd never be surprised if Martin Brazel, if one is punted and they come and do it. Lee, so go through your shortlist. What do you like?
Well, first of all, the only time I'm back to wear the national cast was 2016. My then 9-year-old daughter, I always used to give her a pound each way and say, choose one. I think purple was her favourite colour, so she chose Rule the World. I think it was 50s when we put it on. So she's back to winner of the national, but I never have.
Very good. David Mullins, friend of the podcast, his national winner that time.
Yeah.
So you're due, so I would say, Lee. You're probably due a winner, so this is the year.
I'm due and I'm confident. The excellent Ben Aitken from Narrow in the Field, if you see any of his stuff, he's got 8 stats from the last 8 years that have pointed to all the winners. And the only 4 that cover all those 8 stats, there's one still to go, which is the jockey's ridden them before, so we don't know that yet. Pepper Down over Vanilla, I Am Maximus, and the horse that I'm going to select, I'll keep the suspense just for a second. I think Cappadano wants better ground, and I'm not sure on the trip. I think Vanilla needs probably another 2 miles. So I don't like that. I Am Maximus, I do actually like and like Dermo, especially if Jerry McGarvey rides, because he tends to riding really well. Yeah, jumping's a question mark, but he does get round. He's definitely got the stamina. He'll like the ground. Best form, maybe on right-handed tracks. He's got a lot of ability. So I do like him. There's one that just misses out on the trends. He needed one more chase start to hit the trends. Meeting of the Waters. Yeah, I think he's got a great chance. I know from speaking to Patrick, he's got a great weight, good profile, he jumps really well. Apparently he's a bit too keen at Cheltenham, but he still managed to finish third. They're hoping that's got the keenness out of him, and they reckon he should stay if he settles. So I'd give that a decent chance. But my selection, and I do really like this one, and it's another mare, is Limerick Lace. She covers all the trends. I'd like it if Keith rode her, but if Mark Walsh does, that's fine. 5 of the last 16 winners were £5 or more well in. She's £7 well in officially. Maximus is actually £5 well in. She jumps really well. She loved the ground. She's 2 out of 2 on heavy, which I think is going to be there or thereabouts. Obviously, the trip is a bit of a question mark, but she's a half sister to Spades of Trump, who won the Ulster National over 3 mile 4. And I know the way you're thinking of obviously hacked up in the Kid Muir recently. She was a good second in the Troy Town in testing conditions. That's a stamina trip. So I think she'll get the trip. She was about 30 when I backed her. She's into sort of 22s, 20s in places now. So I think, like Tanya, I think we could have the first mare to win the Grand National since Nicol Coyne in 1951, and I'm pretty keen on Limerick Lace.
Who do you think might ride her, Lee?
I hope Keith rides it, really. Keith Donnery, I don't know. I think... Got a feeling Mark Walsh might go from Meeting of the Waters, do you think?
I'd say Keith would struggle to do that. Keith would need to chop a leg off, I'd say, to do 10 stone 7.
Yeah.
He'd be 11-4-ish now would be as probably as... Or maybe 11 stone if he really went at it, but 11-4 would be kind of where he'd be. He'd get his limit. Yeah.
I'd imagine Jody McGarvey will be on I Am Maximus.
Paul Townend said that during the week, that it's pretty much...
Okay. So Mark Welsh is going to ride Meeting of the Waters. So is that what you're understanding, Dermo?
I don't know where
Townend
else.
Will probably right.
He's not going to pick Cappadano over Meeting of the Waters, is he?
No.
Yeah.
Cappadano
won't
stay on the ground. Like Meeting of the Waters has a great chance. It's interesting. Like maybe some people will be listening to this after Thursday when they load the jockey book. It's like, will Brian Hayes keep the Mr. Incredible ride, Dermo? Do you think? It's hard to know. Townend could pick him.
Paul Townend said Brian will keep that ride.
Townend would be on a 50-1 shot the way it's going then.
Townend said if he'd any choice, he'd love to ride Meeting of the Waters. This was on his Ladbrokes.
Okay, camp. I missed that.
And he said he'd love to ride Meeting of the Waters, but he said he's pretty much... Brian Hayes seems to be Paul Byrne's guy in a lot of these rides. Mark Walsh obviously has his pick. Jody McGarvey gets his horse every now and then from JP. It was Great Field, was another one as well he had before, remember?
Do I think where are we going with this? So let's say Capodanno's taken out on the ground. He probably won't be town and ride him. He could end up on a little horse in green and yellow. A little friend of yours, adamantly chosen.
He could, or he could end up on Glenn Gooley, or he could end up... He probably would ride Adamantly Chosen. Adamantly Chosen was brilliant last time, Cass. But
here we go.
Hold on,
listeners.
I was going to say,
I'll name the three horses you're going to tip.
But do have a go at the other two. Go on.
I'll be honest. Adamantly Chosen was one.
No, he's not yet.
Glenn Gooley was one.
Nope, he's not.
Ah, jeez, that will everyone know. And I didn't really know I was going to have a stab.
I was surprised you didn't get one of them.
Go on. Anyway, listen. I thought even Dermo can't tip Manel Endo.
I thought last time over three mile five on terrible ground at Cheltenham, he handled that very well. He handled the ground. They were absolutely raging, bullying about him going into the cross country. I just think that a mad horse like him, he has a wandering head, there's no doubt about it, but a race like the Grand National should kind of keep him there. He came alive over the cross country fences. I like that as a trial for a Grand National. It shows that a horse is adaptable. I think if he stays going 11 stone 5 is very much so, but the one that I'm very, very keen on here is Meeting of the Waters. I'm really keen on him. I thought that was a perfect prep last time. He handled the ground at Christmas time at Leopardstown was awful ground. You know, like there was horses in the novice hurdles were barely getting home, let alone over 3 miles.
He went around the whole the wide outside. Now I know they do that sometimes at Leopardstown, but my God, did he bolt up.
I was watching Road to Cheltenham and Daryl Jacobs said on it that jumping two out, he thought I have this in the bag on James de Burley. And he said he looked through his legs and went, what in God's name is that? He just couldn't believe that a horse could be going that well at that point of that race. The ultimate scream to me now, Cass, and you disagree with me on this, scream to me as a, if he's there to win, but let's not kill him either. You know what I mean? It was...
I watched it beside you, Dermo, and I said that horse wasn't off, and he finished third, the ultimate. Like, he wasn't trying. Do you know, like, he jumped and travelled better than anything in the ultimate. Well, apart from County Classical.
Right? Who
pulled double, like, at the front. Yeah. I don't think he was put into the race. I genuinely just think this is the...
I thought it was one of those JPs, had a few of them this year, particularly the horse behind Fasal Vig earlier on, where it's just kind of like, you know, if you can win, but if you don't kill the meter. He, to me now, and just the fact that, you know, you hear Patrick mentioning it there to Lee, you hear Paul Townend saying he'd love to ride the horse, he hopes... I hope that Mark Walsh picks up the nets, which is going to happen, obviously. I'm kind of very confident on him, but I do think... Lindo, and a one at just a monstrous price as a horse who's always looked like an out and out stayer with bottomless ground. I thought Manella Crooner at 80 to 100 to 1, you get much bigger price on exchanges, obviously, but at 80 to 1 or so there at BetUK, Manella Crooner has found winning very, very difficult, but he's the kind of plodder that could just be running on to 4th or 5th. He's always looked like a horse that just wanted 4 miles on bottomless ground, and off 10 stone 9, I thought that he could run a big race at 80s, but definitely Meeting of the Waters is the one for me, Cass.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think Meeting of the Waters, just, he's the perfect horse for the race. He's an incredible jumper, but he that Race IQ came out with, I don't know what they call it, but they have a stat or a measure.
Oh yeah, how many fences they are, how many lengths they're making up of fences.
But they also have something from how quickly you get from the back of an obstacle to getting back up to the average speed of the race, which is
really cool.
I'd put far more mass and dash than I
same
would
yeah yeah as that
jumps lane, because they jumps gained or legs gained jumping, it can be inefficient. Like Maya Maximus could be good at that, but he jumps them all differently, whereas Meeting of the Waters, once he gets to the other side of an obstacle, he's quickly back on the bridle, and that's what you want when you're jumping 30 obstacles around. I didn't think he was keen, like Lee said at Cheltenham. I just thought he actually tanked through it, and he just settled lovely, I thought. But Maybe I was wrong. Lee, what interesting with him, though, you said that he fits all the stats. I wouldn't have thought a seven-year-old would necessarily fit those stats. I think Noble Yates might have been seven.
Seven-year-old in there, but yeah, I couldn't name another seven-year-old
that won the national now. Not Tanya, you might know that or might have it hand, but that's not many 7 year-olds. But I wouldn't mind that stat at all because
And the profile of these races is changing an awful lot as well. Anyway, yeah, the profile of handicaps are changing.
I mean, it'd be some story if Mina the Waters did with me. I was at Cork in October 22. I think he came third in a maiden hurdle. That was the day. That was for Eugene O'Sullivan, Michael O'Sullivan riding. That same day, another horse called Corbett's Cross won the bumper. Space Taurus came third. That's why I was there. So on that day, you've got Meeting of the Waters, third in the maiden hurdle, Corbett's Cross winning the bumper. Both for Eugene O'Sullivan. I love where they both are now.
Yes, yeah. And the Paul Byrne Magic Touch again. Like, we'd probably all be talking about that horse, and Mr. Credible would probably go with the national.
I'd say Eugene's staff and everybody start hiding horses when they see Paul Byrne pull up in that yard.
Go on. I'd say they start booking the restaurant for the night out on the Saturday when he pays for it.
It's like that Omar scene in The Wire, you know, it's just people just fleeing as you walk see him.
Frank probably has them tipped off now. If you see Paul Byrne coming into the yard, just give me a ring, William. We'll cut out the middleman here. Yeah, very good. So myself and Dermot both very keen on Meeting of the Waters. Is there any other rags to throw to the field? Like, I do like talking about the outsiders. Lee, you haven't gone too crazy on the outsiders there. Was there another big price you thought might get into it?
No, I'm very keen on Limerick Lace, and the 30-1 where I've acted, I'm happy with that. That's a big enough price for me.
Do you put much stock into stallions, Lee? Dermot knows what I'm about to say. Like, she's by Walk in the Park. They would not a hope she'll get over 4 miles, I would think, but I'm frequently wrong.
You know
what we are
thinking, got 3 mile 5 Culver enough, didn't he?
He did, but he was kind of thrown in, wasn't he?
He was.
Yeah, I'd just be very worried about any Walk in the Park. I think they've got a disgraceful record at the National, but I could see where you're coming from with her. She's very, very talented horse. But sorry, Lee, to pour. Poor score, and I don't mean to be like that. Well, I do mean to be like that, but I don't mean to be like that with a new person, so I apologise okay, and Tanya, anything else you wanted to highlight?
Maybe Shambard, because that would be raced to the 4. Lucy Turner will no doubt be on it, and no, Shambard's 12, but he raced through going similar to this. Venetia, up until Wednesday, was once again on the cold list, but she had a nice winner yesterday with Supervisor, who actually got the chance to jump fences rather than running a race where 10 were omitted. So Venetia, as we know, has got a good record in the race. And the fact that James Reevely is coming over to ride Roy Maj will be key, because that runs on, that's best form is on nothing but heavy, and it's already completed the course. And if they are sort of going round another old timer in 12 years old, the pair of them, they could have a chance. You've got all those placed options, no doubt, coming up. I know there's only 34 runners, but there'll be some place concessions, and those two may be worth considering because they have decent form over the fences. And you asked about the last seven-year-old. It was there before all of us. It was Noble Yates, but before that, it was back in 1940. So Noble Yates kind of broke that stat. But no, they're the two for me. James Reevely coming over to ride the Patrick Griffin horse, and Shambard for Venetia Williams and Lucy Turner.
Okay, very good. So an in-depth look at the National there. Tanya fancies mainly Gallia Della Toa, and a mention for Kitty's Light, Limerick Lace for Lee, and Meeting of the Waters for both myself and Dermo. And I would say everyone just wait for Saturday, really, to have your bets on the National as a general rule, and wait for Saturday mid-morning. Don't try and have your bet in the pub just before the race, because they tend to cut everything. Meeting of the Waters maybe is one that could shorten a point or two.
And plenty of websites go down and stuff as well. Plenty of websites struggle under the buckle of the half an hour before the race. You're definitely better off just
when you're up
have it all done.
9:10 o'clock is your time to be doing it. Okay, so we're going to have a look at the racing on Thursday, Friday and Saturday. We're recording this on Tuesday, and we have Thursday's card, so we'll probably spend a bit more time on that than we will on the other days. And we're going to launch straight into the 145, the Manifesto Novices Chase. It's over 2.5, and we have reopposing Cheltenham winner Grey Dawning for the Skeltons going for the Trainers Championship. Ginny's Destiny's in there again. And then Ilet Etamp goes up in trip from Cheltenham for Willie Mullins, a 5-strong field. Colonel Harry, the only, and Blow Your Watt make up the field. So Dermot, we'll come to you first. Grey Dawning, very good at Cheltenham. What do you make of this race?
Brilliant race. Obviously, with the first two, obviously, we like a bigger field, but that was a proper ding-dong battle at Cheltenham. The one thing I will say is that I do think the jockeys in behind, particularly the Irish jockeys, probably a little bit of arrogance, thinking our horses are always just that much better. They did let the two of them go. I couldn't lay a glove on them because of how well Ginny's Destiny and Grey Donnie jumped. That could well happen again, but I'm willing to take a swing here on Illite Tomps, who I thought that, firstly, Gaelic Warrior is just in another league altogether. I definitely got that horse wrong. But Illite Tomps, everything went wrong that day at Cheltenham. He doesn't like the course at all. He just doesn't like Cheltenham. And he was out the back of the TV turning in, and he managed to kind of run on for third. I know he ran past beaten horses, but in the circumstances, that was actually a very, very good run. I think Aintree's going to suit him a lot better. I think 2.5 miles will definitely suit him a lot more. Went way too quickly for him at Cheltenham. I know his best form is over two, but I do think he's a 2.5 miler. That's where we will see him peak. And at 7-2 or so, he to me looks a bit of value because I don't think Paul Townend will make that error again and let the two Harries jump off too far in front of him. So at Aintree and over this trip, I think Illite Tomps could trouble the front two, guys.
Yeah, if he's going to stay the trip, it's probably Aintree where he's going to stay it. Lee, what do you think of this one? It's built over race.
Yeah, he's cut off, hasn't it? Five runners that there's ever been more than eight runners in 14 run-ins of this race. The last three winners have bypassed Cheltenham, but the only one that fits that is Blow You Water. I can't see that winning. I did really like two that had bypassed, actually. Imagine a Nickelback, neither a which have been declared. Nickelback might go to the Bagel. Thought Imagine would be declared. It's a good form on heavy ground, so I don't know what's going on there. Would have been first run for Harry Derham. But yeah, Grey Dawn in seven runs, five wins in a place on soft, 2 out of 2 on heavy. I can't see any reason to believe Ginny's Destiny will reverse that form. I think he might just have the edge over Illite Tomps. Again, spoke to Patrick. He thinks this step-upping trip will be very good for Illite Tomps, and it'll definitely handle the ground. But I'll stick with Grey Dawn, I think, even though it's not really a bet for me, even money.
Okay. A vote for Grey Dawning, a vote for Illite Tomps. And Tanya?
Fabulous race. Fabulous bit of cat and mouse here because Grey Dawning was brilliant at Cheltenham, able to stride out and beat Ginny's Destiny at Ginny's Destiny's favoured track, which was really key. Now we come to a smaller, tighter track, and although it will be obviously soft of some sort, whether it's soft, heavy in places, Ginny's Destiny will once again have to sit in behind Grey Dawning. And I don't think Ginny's Destiny will have kind of enough speed to pick up Grey Dawning unless Ginny's Destiny goes to the fore itself. Illite Tomps can just sit behind and see what the pair of them are up to. And I think looking at their prices, Colonel Harry is a ridiculous price, totally cast to one side. I agree. Blow Your Wad, probably the ground would be wrong for Blow Your Wad, but you've got to try because Tom Lacey hasn't got too bad a record at Aintree. Grey Dawning to go out in front. Colonel Harry won't be that far behind this time because they'll keep themselves compact. It'll be a good setup. But as you say, it's very hard to see Grey Dawning being beaten on this occasion because he's coming to a track that ought to favour him. If anything is just sitting behind waiting to pounce, it could well be the outsider of the field. He's had a fantastic season. Snowden and Sheehan and Aintree's renowned to causing a few surprises. Favourites haven't got the greatest record at Liverpool. That's, I think they've got 28% strike rate overall. At the Great Place, so we'll see. Grey Dawning then to beat Colonel Harry.
Yeah, I'll be having one bet at the moment anyway today on Thursday's cards, and it's Colonel Harry. I agree with you, Tanya. I think that the race, the shape of the race with Grey Dawning and Ginny's Destiny going a clip after a really, really hard cutthroat battle at Cheltenham, both of those could easily fall in a hole. Not beyond the bounds of Illite Tomps won't stay, and that means Colonel Harry will go and win the race. So you know, at 28-1, 33-1, I think he's far too big a price. He wouldn't have that much to find on pre-Cheltenham form, and he didn't perform at Cheltenham, so he might bounce back on. And he loved the ground, which is crucial on Thursday. Probably didn't have a hard race at Cheltenham because he wasn't really able to get into the race the way that Grey Dawning and Ginny's Destiny went. So I agree with you. I think Colonel Harry, as a complete rag, has a very good shout. Onto the 220, the anniversary four-year-old juvenile hurdle. And Tanya, I'm going to stay with you because I want to see what do you think of the Nicky Henderson horses. Sergino is slightly odds on here. I don't know what to make of him and his horses, because we have Sergino and Shishkin this day. So firstly, the Henderson Yard, how are you playing it? Or you're perfectly entitled to throw your hands up in the air and say, look, I haven't a clue.
Yeah, I haven't a clue. It is the predicament for everyone. And for good measure, fate has decreed that the first one that goes for us to test our will is Sergino, whose last performance resonates with us all, as does Nicky's strike rate. But Nicky does excel at Aintree. Since 2013 or even 2012, he has always had a winner across the 3 days, or two winners, or the best day, I think, to get him is the Friday. But, of course, we've got Sergino here, and what a predicament for us all. I think it's kind of easy for me. I do appreciate what a superstar Sergino looks like, and he is a superstar of the hurdling world, but I'm afraid in the race there's no help to anyone. We've got the superstar of the chasing world of the future in the contest. And seeing how he, Caleb de Bernadette, acted round a speed track like Kempton in picking up the little terrier that was Give Me Five, I ain't treat for him. That when you turn for home, you've got the three hurdles and then a never-ending home straight. That is manna from heaven, I think, for Caleb de Burleigh. And if there is ever anything, if we have Sergino coming here as we saw him at Cheltenham, Caleb de Burleigh, I think, is a horse that could at least challenge him. And I'm siding with Caleb de Burleigh. I just think he's great, and he'll be back next year winning at Cheltenham and winning at Liverpool. And maybe we'll be kicking ourselves and saying, no, why weren't we on him this time? But what a wonderful predicament for everyone.
Yeah.
Have you
the Ferguson Jed Mason colours pajamas made yet? You're such a big fan of this horse, Tanya.
No, I shouldn't. You'll see me turn up in yellow with a big red star on Thursday.
I think you have Caleb de Burleigh shaped rose tinted glasses or something with this horse. We'll see. You're going to be proven right or wrong Thursday, because he'll get his ground and everything. So be interested. I think he's very short nearly for what he's done in a way. Like, give me five, kicked out of the way. In a bad race.
Yeah.
You could be well right. God, he looks impressive at Kempton. So, what this is a brilliant race, really. Dermo, what do you think? We have a bit of a test of the Triumph Hurdle form as well.
Yeah, we do. I think you have to take on Sergino with all things there, with all facts in front of us even, I really am happy to take him on. I really like Norberg Ring. I think he's a huge price here. I thought he was given an absolute stones of a ride at Cheltenham. By the time Mark Walsh and Danny Mullins are settling down to really go up and take it on, the two of them, JJ7 is still out the back of the TV. How this horse gets up for fourth, it's a brilliant effort to actually get there. It mightn't be a stone's entry, might have been a plan the whole way along, but I just doubt it. But his form does tie in beautifully with the Cargese and all these other horses. And I'm willing to completely forgive that. I do think that it was jockey error on the day. I just think he was way too far back. And 11-1 for a horse with his ability, and the fact that on his best form, he's not far off any of these at all. I think it's a massive price, Cass. He's one of my biggest bets of the week so far, anyway.
Yeah, I agree. I can't believe he's twice the price of Caleb de Burleigh, given the form that he has. When Cargese finished ahead of him at Leopardstown, he was the best horse in the race at the weights and was kind of unlucky in the run. And he did get a stones in the Triumph. I wholeheartedly agree. I'd be with you on Nürburgring. Think he's way too big a price at 11-1. But it's a Sergino factor, isn't it, Lee? I mean, it's hard to know what to do with the race.
Yeah, I mean, I personally can't back it even money or whatever it is at the minute with Henderson's form. So that, I'd leave that one out. Cargese, I guess, whatever you call it, ticks all the boxes. Apples, Jade, Zenta, Willie Mullins, Mares to place in the Triumph and then winning this race. Apparently she's come out of Cheltenham well. So she ticks all the boxes for me. And if I was picking between the top of the market, I would definitely go for her. But I also like Nürburgring. I'm just a little bit concerned that JJ Slevin's gone for Interlocks. What do you think about that, Dermot?
I hope he was told nicely that he could ride the other one. Interlocks was brilliant last time, and the horse in second. If you look through that form, I forget the name of the horse, but it is a Philip Fenton horse. Brian Hayes rode it at Fairy House. the horse in second, Carl de Torrells or whatever it is, he ran an absolute screamer at Fairhope. So I'd say if you were reading the form and kind of getting stuck into the form, you could see maybe why you'd go for it in the lotto, because Intelotto beat him very easily. So I'd imagine that's, he's probably going along those kind of ways, and particularly Daryl Jacob can't ride him. But I'd be quite happy. A big fan of JJ Slevin, but just sometimes maybe a horse doesn't suit you. And I'm not sure he's particularly suited to him.
Yeah, I think Intelotto's too active on heavy ground as well. So maybe that's a factor. But yeah, like the ring back to him at Cheltenham, like you was out the back of the telly, I thought no chance. Then he finishes like a train up that hill for fourth. Both Joseph McBride, obviously, but his record with 4-year-olds over in the UK is really good. I think 20% win, 47% place for a good profit. Danny Mullins riding could be interesting. He obviously knows Cargill's very well. So yeah, I'm in the Nürburgring camp as well. I think that's three of us.
Yeah, so kind of three steers for Nürburgring, and Calif de Burley, the president of the fan club, Tanya Stevenson, is going with her old friend, but hard to know what to do with Sergio. It'd be very interesting to see it. It gives us a first steer really on Nicky's horses, and we'll get a second steer when we go to the entry bowl, the big 3 mile chase. Always get a test of Gold Cup form, and again a puzzle here with Shishkin being in here. Jerry Kalam, he's a kind of a Marmite horse for a lot of people. He's 6-4 favourite, Shishkin threes, and a bit of a perler again from the Emmett Mullins yard with Corbett's Cross, the novice coming in here with plenty of experience. He's 4-1. Brave Man's Game, can he get back 10-1? A Hoist and Yours in here as well, Gentleman's Game, and Thunder Rock, the rag of the field. It's a good race. It's a good race, Lee, isn't it? It's a puzzle.
It's better than it's got a better entry than the early race in terms of numbers, and it is a puzzle. You don't want to be coming out of this, the stats here, you don't want to be coming out of this as a placed horse in the Gold Cup. Only two that finished top three in Gold Cup have won this since 1997. Charlie Hall's been a good guide. Mouse Morris is no fool. I'm going to go for the second rag here, Gentleman's Game, at 25-1-ish, I think. Pulled up a fair way out in Gold Cup. Didn't look like it did a lot wrong. Maybe just out of the track. Three wins, two places out, six runs on a flat track. Won the Charlie Hall, which has been a good trial. So yeah, not a hard race in the Gold Cup. Mouse Morris knows what he's doing. I think at 25-1, that's a good entry. But I'd be a little bit concerned if the ground was very testing. That's my only question mark. But at 25-1, I'm willing to give it a chance.
Yeah, could kind of see it here. You could see any result here, not surprising really. Tanya, what did you make of it?
Well, it's a Paul Nicholls race in the fact that he's going for his seventh win in the race. It used to be an absolute nightmare for favourites until the last 10 years where they've just bossed it. They've bossed it. They've won 6 of the 10 years. It throws up another Nicky Henderson predicament because you've got Shishkin coming back to try and win it, but it's kind of something you sidestep for, as you say, for the Gold Cup second of polling up. The track is the issue. It's not Cheltenham, it's flatter, it's quicker despite the ground being softer, and you sense that a Hoist in Your will go to the front and try and set it up for everything else, and with that in mind you'll have a Hoist in Your, Brakeman's Game, then stacking up behind potentially with Corbett's Cross and Gentleman's Game. And I tend to think again that seeing the price of Gentleman's Game, that's really, really attractive. Certainly for each way. I know you're only two places because you've only got 7 runners, but it's a Paul Nicholls race, a Brave Man's Game with a little bit of a saver on Gentleman's Game. Everything points to the fact that Brave Man's Game ought not to potentially do well in this race, but there's so many question marks. So Hoisin, you're what is meant to like Aintree. He's won here a couple of times. He should like the ground, but last time out, really a little bit disappointing. I forgave him the time before when his stirrup broke. Obviously, you do. Jerry Colomb, I think the track will be a bit tight and the price is short. Shishkin, you don't know what he's going to get up to because it's a Nicky horse. Corbett's Cross is really, really interesting. That is a statement and a half, that is, because that had plenty of opportunity. So, no, I'll go with Paul Nicholls to go for his 7th winning the contest.
Yeah, well, I think
it's obviously
the Corbett's Cross thing is Emmett just seems to have a policy of strike while the iron is hot. You know, he runs good races.
Sensible.
Yeah, frequently. And while they're in form and they're healthy, run them. It's like Ferranilli winning the Grade 1 Novice Chase. Punchestown,
like Noble Yates running in the Grand National a year before people would have said. I think he's very much correct in the sense that just while the iron is hot, while the horse is ready, run them. I think that's his philosophy. Now, I suppose he could have gone for a novice chase, of course, but JP, another side of it is JP has so many Gold Cup contenders next year between Factofile, Garbage Cross, and there's another one.
I know the way you're thinking, even could well.
Meeting his quarters.
Rocco.
Yeah, there's just so many of them for JP. I'd say he wants to figure out where his Gold Cup squad is next year as well. Sorry, the Spillane's Tower is the other one I was trying to say.
Spillane's Tower. Yeah,
definitely could become a Gold Cup horse. So I think that's a bit of an angle with Corbett's Cross. He's definitely interesting. I think it's nearly too much of a puzzle to have a bet. Dermot Nolan, will you be having a bet?
No, I thought Jerry Klom could well belie that stat that Lee mentioned there, simply because he did it last year. He finished second in an RSA and had his
hell of a stat now, that Lee, by the way. Do you know how many tried?
No, I don't.
Yeah. Fair enough, but it's a good stat.
It's a brilliant stat, yeah.
It's a good stat, but a lot of Irish horses have been contending the Gold Cup, so maybe they were Punchestown, and, you know, it's another little factor.
I know, but there's an awful lot of years where Follow the Plan won and Nacarat won, you know, like the Gold Cup horses can flop here, but Jerry Klom, he seems to thrive in his racing. He had a good break for the Gold Cup, so if any horse will belie that stat, it will be him. He handled the switch between Cheltenham and Aintree last year very easily. He was brilliant at Aintree afterwards.
Since 2000, 13 had run in the Gold Cup. 5 of those failed to complete the course at Aintree since 2000. Yeah. So if you go even further, can you imagine how many there are?
Any winners from the 13, Tanya?
No.
None?
No.
If a gun was put to my head, I would go for Corbett's Cross, who I was just woefully wrong about all season. He's a superstar. I absolutely love that performance. National Hunt Chase, but Stephen, it's too much of a mind.
Yeah, it's a puzzle. I'd love to see Braveman's Game go back and trip, but anyway, that's by the by. The William Hill Aintree Hurdle at 3:30 is the next Grade One over 2.5. Of course, it's the Constitution Hill won it last year, and my God, would you want your head checked if you think you ever want to Bob Olinger at 11-8? This fella is a complete. He's not a horse to be trusted, I think, anyway. He tends to throw his head up in the air, and he runs skew ways, and he could do anything. But he is 11-8. And Dermo, will you be parting with your hard-earned? Well, it's not hard-earned. We know you don't. But your
My money.
Will you be parting with your soft money, Dermo, here?
My soft-earned money. Yes, but not on Bob Olinger. Definitely not an impaired pass. Langer Dam was very good at... at Cheltenham, obviously, but I've kind of no interest here remotely. I think Lucia is a hell of a price, Stephen. Like none of the top three or top two have got as close to State Man as she did at the Cheltenham Festival. And she did that with the complete cloud over Nikki's horses. So we pretty much know she's okay. She's 3.5 lengths behind the two of them. It was an absolutely monstrous effort. Stepping up and trip will definitely suit her. She's definitely a bit of a wrong and mentally at times, but off 11 stone 3 and 12-1 here, I think it's a very fair price to find out with serious question marks over the majority of the horses here in this field. She's a very talented mare, and sometimes horses like her can really step forward when, you know, they're brought into a race and there's so much to kind of aim at. That was by far a career best last time. It was a monstrous effort, and I don't think any other horses would have got as close as she did. So at that effect, 12-1 or so is just way far too big a price.
Yeah, Lucia for Dermo, we can see it definitely going up in trip is going to help her, I think. 2.5 will be her game. Langer Dan, you'd wonder, probably doesn't like this time of year, I would say. He's missed his window. Lee, what do you fancy here? It's not they're tricky races, aren't they? It's hard to be dogmatic on Anthem.
Yeah, I really fancied Irish Park for this, and then he suddenly started weakening a couple of days ago. I thought this would be a perfect trip for him. 2.5 mile, won at that distance at this meeting last year.
Probably going to Punchestown with him now over 3, given to you, both going the other way. Yeah.
I do love Bob Olinger. I know what you're saying about him, and I know you don't want to be backing him at short price, but I do love him. And I was very much head versus heart when I went Irish Point over Bob Olinger. But at the risk of following Dermo again. I think Lucia, 6 out of 13 winners of this, finished second, third, or fourth in the champion hurdle. That was my thinking on Irish Point. She was just behind. Trip was a question mark for me, but you guys have given me a bit of confidence that that won't be a problem. So, yeah, at that price, I agree. She's too big, and I'll be going with Lucia each way.
Okay, 2 votes for Lucia. I wouldn't include my own self in that. I think I'll skip it. But Tanya, do you fancy anything in it?
It's hard to fancy anything in the race, but I will say there's a great stat in this, and I'm glad that it's actually occurred. Since 2000, Ireland have been represented by 3 or more runners 8 times in the Aintree hurdle. They have won it on 7 of those 8 occasions, and we have 3 runners.
Alana probably
race.
Won 2 of those, I would say.
Abacadabras, yeah. Who Stephen Cass adores, yeah. won that race.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, 7 out of 8 is really good. So you've got Beacon, Edge, you've got Bob Ollinger, and Willie's got Impair a Pass in the race. I would be against Bob Ollinger. I'd be more likely Impair and Pass. I can't believe Langadan is so short in relation to Lucia, because this is Nicky's race. It doesn't go to... Willie, this is Nicky's race. He's won it 6 times, so he'd be keen. And Lucia, if Sergino wins his race, then Lucia, who ran brilliantly anyway, considering she was the only horse that ran well, one of the only horses that ran well for Nicky at Cheltenham, she ran an enormous race in that champion hurdle. So that price she is now will just collapse if Sergino runs well, but I'll go with Impair and Pass, but the price for Lucia is wrong considering her achievement, and you compare everything that Nicky Henderson had at the festival and how she ran above herself in that champion hurdle.
Very good. So a couple of votes for Lucia and 1/2 a vote from Tanya and 1 for Impair and Pass. Going to be an interesting day for the title, because Willie could have a couple of winners here at the way the panel are talking. That's Thursday, done and dusted, and we'll run on. We'll take a break now for selections for Friday and Saturday. And now we move on to Friday on the Aintree card. And Dermot Nolan, what do you fancy here?
Yeah, it's a serious card, Cass. 145, novices chase there. I know the way you're thinking, but as Noel Hayes always said, when you've gone to the wedding, maybe don't go to the funeral as well. So I leave him alone. Just until we find out what his actual seeding ability is.
I think if you have gone to the wedding, you should be
sorry. That's exactly it.
And you were certainly at the wedding, and you were at the stag, and you were at the day after, and everything. But I know the way you're thinking.
Everything. So I leave him alone for now, just until we find out particularly how good he is. I'd like an each way punt there on Giovinco, who I think is far too big a price. I think that's a very good race, the Brown Advisory. Top novice, I would be chancing. Dice Ardino's getting weight. I've said it all season. I think those. Mare's novices are a particularly brilliant bunch this year, and her form was absolutely more than franked, and she was in her form. Clean. And the Melling Chase, I think Pick Dory should go very close to winning this again. John Bond's a hard horse to trust, and Protectorate, etc. They've all had very, very, very tough races at Cheltenham on tough ground. Pick Dory, fresh here, could jump them all into submission. And then Cass, I would imagine, if we had the time, you could definitely pick my top and pick. But I like Chantreuse here at 25-1.
I might have that one.
Part owner, Gavin Coleman, was next to me. This horse is confirmed to run, and I just think that his jumping will actually suit him very well. His problem is his finishing effort. Maybe likes of an entry could help him, but his jumping is typically the Bromhead is absolutely brilliant. And in the last race, I really do like Friday's card. Sefton novices hurdle. Peaky boy there. If Nicky Anderson's horses are running well, he'll be his second string, I'd imagine. It's probably because Shanna Bob is running there. But Peaky boy was brilliant last time. Beat Champagne Twist really easily. Champagne Twist has come out afterwards and franked that form as well. So he's definitely one there as well. Peaky boy, wherever he runs, I will be keeping an eye on him. But my best bet of the day would probably be between Pick Doherty and Chantreuse. Each way in the top, I guess.
Very good. Quick spin through Thursday with Dermo. And Lee, the same for you Thursday. Was that stood out to you on the card?
Friday.
Friday, sorry.
Yeah, I really do like another way of thinking. I think the mare's called Swear. Obviously, Limerick Lace, I've already mentioned. He was 92 when I started looking at this, 2-1 now. Massive performance in the Kimyones. They took the old handbrake off. So, yeah, I think that's a great bet. It was a great bet at 92, and I still think he'll win. In the top novices, I think Mystical Power. I'm just a bit mystified about Mystical Power's price, 11-4. I don't think Slade Steel's going to entry. Is anybody know different? I think they're saving for Punchestown. So I don't understand why Mystical Power's that price, to be honest.
Yeah, haven't heard. I have actually haven't heard. Dermot, did you hear with the town end thing you listened to? Better not strike me.
I think it's 11-4 currently. I think that's a cracking price because I can't see Slade Steel running, even if she does Supreme Winner. Supreme Winner's got not a great record in this race. So Mystical Power about 11-4 in the top novices. I do like. I'll leave the Melly Chase. No real thoughts on that. In the top, I thought Mac Totti, if it doesn't go, I know Peter Bowen was talking about probably not going to the National with the ground being very heavy. Won the race in 2022. It's won off 1-4-3. It's now 1-4-6. It's 3 wins out of 4 at the track. 2-1 soft. It's placed on heavy. So I think that's talking about Derek O'Connor riding it as well. So that could be interesting. Mac Totti at about 25-1 last time I looked. If it gets to heavy, Richmond Lake, 2 out of 2 at heavy. It's 1 at Aintree, albeit not on the national course. Donald McCain obviously likes this meeting. But when I spoke to Patrick Mullins briefly yesterday, and I asked him for his nap of the meeting, he said James De Burley thinks this race is made for him. He loves the ground, thinks he'll take to the fences. So 14-16-1. That would sound like a good bet to me.
Yeah, that's interesting. That is interesting, Joe. He's a horse with any amount of talent, and he did look like in the Paddy Power, he was coming back to himself. Maybe didn't quite say the trip that day. So 2-6. Could really suit him. He's a horse I fell in love with once upon a time, James Burley. The Topham, it screams to me a Tanya Stevenson race. Tanya, surely you love the Topham.
Yeah, I do love the Topham. I just love the complete thrill of the race, seeing them stream over the fences. We've only had one favourite since 2000. That was Joint. That was Guanaco. Looking down at my 7-1 joint favourite. Gordon Elliott hasn't had a great record in the race. He's had 11 runners. They've all been beaten since Paul won with Guanaco. He's not done too well in the top. I'm going for Sail Away. It's just tremendous that he sneaked in quietly into the top. I think he should go because on his French form, he can handle really, really soft conditions. And seeing he's off 11-1 and seeing what race he was in last time, the infamous Pick Dorky Ascot Chase, where he was in that little contest with Ahoy Senor, and he was only beaten. He wasn't beaten far at all, and he can certainly race up with the pace. And I see at the moment Harry's jocked up on Phlegmatic, but I sense Sail Away might be a runner in the race. I do grant you that McTotty, Peter Bowen has a sort of a superb record in the race, which we all know anyway. So it's no surprise to see him. He'll be going for his sixth win in the race, Peter Bowen. Yeah, I mean, he's been farming the race. So my two against Phil, which I've already written about, were Sail Away, who's got that real touch of class to be running in the Topham, and also with McTotty. The racing stacks up beautifully for the whole day. Looking at that Sefton novices hurdle, scrolling up and down the list, I think Kintara's been running exceptionally well and heavy, and that'll lead them, and hopefully this time we'll stay in front. In the Melling Chase, that's a great contest, what you do with John Bond, but you could see Conflated turn up there, and indeed Jungle Boogie, who I thought ran a belter for being like an unknown horse in the Gold Cup. And yeah, I mean, looking at the top novices hurdle, it's very hard. If Slade Steel isn't there, it's surely a gimme for Mystical Power, surely. Just seems very strange that they're sort of joints at the moment. And then Django Bay in that handicap hurdle, because Django Bay won the Formby earlier in the season. And if Nicky's horses are going well, Jago Bay knows all about how to win at Aintree. That's for the Friday. But Sail Away would be the best selection on the Friday for me.
Very good, very good. And now we'll do a wrap-up of Anthony Fancy's Saturday and the rest of the card, the handicaps, if they come to mind. Dermot, you had a nice break there to think about that. The Saturday, Anthony, you want to mention?
Saturday, the only one is I would like to see Hidden Valley Lake take his chance in the Liverpool Hurdle. I think he could go very well in that at a big price. I really liked what he did last time on desperate ground. Elsewhere then, Cass, as well, then in the handicaps, I really like Making Headway if he ran in the handicap hurdle on the 220 on Friday. Ran a screamer in the Imperial Cup, just got tapped for toe. So stepping up to 2.5 miles there is really going to suit him. And Josh Guerrero, and the team there, a really good trainer, really good. So this horse is very well handicapped. In the 5.15 at Aintree on Friday, Densworth seems a massive price at the moment, at 20s. He took a field apart last time. He got £10 for it, but Bo Morgan, he's a £5 claimer, but he will be able to claim £3 in this conditional race. This is a seriously talented young jockey. And so effectively only up £7, and he obliterated that field last time. I would be shocked if there's not more to come from him. And then in the 2.30 on Saturday, I thought Twig ran an absolute screamer in that Ultima. Really, really good race. And if the ground can somewhat get a little bit better by Saturday, which it probably won't, but he handled it quite well at Cheltenham anyway, he just screams to me the horse who's his turn is coming very soon. And he was lucky to kind of bump into one so well handicapped in Chianti Classico. So Twig into 2.30 on Saturday as well, Cass.
Very good. And same question for you, Lee. Saturday and Anathan for the other handicaps, if you want to mention.
Yeah, Mersey's obviously said 155. I quite like Asian Master, actually, for Willie. I think it'd be interesting stepping up in distance. It's bred, I think, more for this trip. And it's run really well over 2 miles, despite that. I thought it's running the Supreme. It was fantastic. Fourth, jumped and travelled well. Maybe just got a bit outpaced, but it still finished strongly. It beat Better Days Ahead 10 lengths. That one's good form now. Beat Jimmy Desai. It's good second in the Gallagher. Actually won a point to point, and it actually got beat only 6 lengths by Factor File in another point to point. So it should handle the ground. I quite fancy that at 10-1 in the Mersey Novices. And Liverpool Hurdle, I was all over the place with it. If Irish Point went there again, doesn't look like it's going to do. Monkfish 33-1. Maybe better back over hurdles. Didn't have a hard race in the Gold Cup. At 33-1, I might have an each way stab at that. Magdal Novices found the 50, probably the favourite, so I've been boring on that. A few of anything else is, I thought Benny's King for the Fox Hunters, second in the race last year, second to Sing nominee, over 3 miles, which I think might be too long for it. It's one on heavy, it's 3 out of 6 on heavy overall. It's got the same jockey as last time out. So quite like Benny's King for the Fox Hunters. In the Mares, Baby Kate's Patrick's Choice, I noticed that ran crackly at Cheltenham. So I think on the ground that could go well. It was 92, it won't be that now. Friday, the Willie and the Landicap Hurdle 2 mile 4. Elliot's got a good record of this. I've noticed they've got Watson Darling in there. Last time looked 25-1. Definitely get a run. It's a novice, came 6th in the Martin Pie. 5th in the Royal Bond, which he had good form behind Anson to Cave. It's been dropped a pound, actually, from Cheltenham. It beat DiCapo, rated 144 in the for auction. I think that could be interesting at 25-1, especially when he puts Danny Gilligan on there. He had Cornerstone Walsh on there last time. So 25-1 about What's Up Darling, 2.20 Friday, I really like that. Horse that I absolutely love in the 5.15, the Conditional Amateur Riders Race, Z-Band, Paul Gilligan. 16-1 last time. Well, it needs 7 to come out, but that should be okay. It'll light the ground. It should have Jack Gilligan on. I think it's well handicapped. It won off 9-6 on the flat for Roger Varian. So could feasibly be a 135 horse. Running here off 122. Jumps and travels really well. Still think it's got a bit in hand. Paul Gilligan's obviously got a good record. Buddy won went close on the same day last year. So I like Z-Band. I also like Bruce here. That's that one that Paddy Mullins got brought down and luckily at Kelso. That Paddy Mullins race at DRF always throws up a lot of winners. And that's 12-1. So those two each way in the 5.15. And that's it really for me. I do quite fancy those though. What's Up Darling and Z-Band.
Okay, a comprehensive run through from Lee and Lee, a sterling effort on your first podcast show, and fair play. We have had some technical issues with Tanya. So her nap is Jimmy DeSoy. That's on the Saturday, Dermo, is it?
Mersey Hurdle on Saturday, yeah.
Mersey Hurdle on the Saturday. And now Tanya is a woman you want to listen to on the golf. She is brilliant. She fancies Wyndham Clark and Victor Hovland in the Masters. So I presume she'll be doubling those with Gallia Delatoe in the National. Dermo, same question to you. So are you going to have a bet in the golf, and what's your nap? What's your Masters National double?
So my nap is Nürburgring on the Thursday in the 4-year-old hurdle. Prior to bigger price at 11s, I just think he's a cracking bet there. In the golf, I actually contacted a friend of mine who knows us some golf. He said Wyndham Clark as well. And my each way double was going to be the two each way doubles with the two new kids on the block as far as Wyndham Clark's and Meeting of the Waters goes, and then two old lads in Nell Indo and Jordan Spieth, who's probably not all that old, but he feels like an old lad.
He's definitely not that old. I wouldn't know where you're coming from. Around a long time. And Ellen wasn't that old either, I suppose. And Lee, yourself, what's your knack for the 3 days of entry?
Well, I'm just hoping that Keith Donohue's got the commitments of a leg chopped off so he can ride into it late. And if he hasn't, then what kind of commitment is that? If you want a national winner, you've got to work for it. I'm going Limerick Lace as my overall map, guys. I think the price I've got with extra places, I'm very happy with that. In the Masters, I'm going to double Limerick Lace at 20-1 with Xander Schauffele about 16-1. 8 places on Xander, 6 places on Limerick Lace. That pays about 20-1 if they both place. A lovely 375-1 when they both win. I also quite like Russell Henley at 66-1. Tied 4th last year in the Masters. Good form this year. So goes into it in form. And I think it's 66-1, 8 places, worth a bet as well.
Now, Cass, I'll turn host there for a second, right, Cass? Masters double and Eurovision double. We all know Tanya loves Switzerland, by the way. She's on a big prizes.
Yeah, Tanya's on the jolly. She's on a big prizes now, 2-1 jolly, and going the right way. Momentum's a big thing with Eurovision betting. And once there's kind of a notion out there that Switzerland are the favourite, then the juries start to tend to pick them, and the public kind of do what they're told a little bit. And those are the ones they're told to vote for. Look, Meeting of the Waters is the national side. Masters, I love having a bet the golf every so often. I don't know that much. I've had one tenner on Sepp Straka at 300-1 on the exchange, and I will throw him into a treble with Meeting of the Waters. And one I think is rock solid top four is Ukraine. I think they've one of the best songs. They finished 6th last year with a poor song. They'll be in the 4. You're getting 8-1 or so. Really good song. It's kind of anthemic. I think they could finish 2nd, 3rd, or 4th, more likely to the way the Swiss are going, but I could see a world in which they win as well. So yeah, Ukraine at the moment, but Eurovision's a very changeable scene. Okay, so anyway, look, that's it. That wraps it up. I see Tanya. I still see you're still there. God love you. You were trying to record that for the last few minutes, but your screen is kind of hopping, so we won't get to hear Tanya before the podcast is over. So sorry for any technical difficulties there. And thanks, everyone. Have a good entry. Good luck with your national bets. Good luck with your entry bets. Good luck with your Masters bets. Good luck with your Eurovision bets. Good luck with your lottery bets. That's the Eurovision podcast, wrapped for entry.
Relentless, remorseless, has pounded Courtland Star into submission.